The seventh petition, but deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We have a problem of definition. I'm not as perplexed as Google is on this score, but close. In 2000, they adopted the slogan, "Do no evil." 9 years later, their CEO said in an interview, "We don't know what the definition of good or evil is." Christians certainly know that much. However, when our Lord teaches us to pray, "Deliver us from evil," needy people need help defining what it means to be delivered and what evil we're asking to be delivered from. Is it evil things or an evil one? The Western, that is the Latin church, took it as a neuter, and so it took it as evil things. The Eastern, the Greek church, took it as a masculine and so prays to be delivered from the evil one, the devil, Satan. How do you think Luther took it? Yep, he took it both ways. In the Small Catechism, Luther emphasized being delivered from all kinds of evil. In the Large Catechism, he concentrated more on the devil himself. He begins by referencing the Greek. I quote, "In the Greek, this petition reads, 'Deliver us from the evil one,' or the wicked one. This petition seems to be speaking of the devil as the sum of all evil, in order that the entire substance of our prayer may be directed against our arch enemy." Then later he says, "Therefore, there is nothing for us to do on earth but to pray constantly against this arch enemy." So, we're praying to be delivered both from evil things and the evil one. But in our confessions and scriptures too, the emphasis is on the evil one. In the parable of the weed and the wheat, the wheat and the weeds, this exact phrase here is rendered the evil one. The evil one is the one who sows the weeds among the wheat. In our Large Catechism, we confess that he does far eviler things than that. Quote, "Since the devil is not only a liar, but also a murderer, he incessantly seeks our life and vents his anger by causing accidents and injuries to our bodies. He breaks many a man's neck and drives others to insanity. Some he drowns, and many he hounds to suicide or other dreadful catastrophes." When surveyed, Americans consistently claim to believe in God in percentages from anywhere from 85 to 95%. And they consistently claim not to believe in a personal devil, the evil one, by anywhere from 50% all the way up to 65%. Now that's funny, because while many people over the years have demanded I make a case for the existence of God, no one has ever demanded that I prove the devil exists. It's good to be reminded in a daily prayer that the old evil foe is the main threat and not some nebulous, impersonal evil. However, the real danger is not taking it one way, only one way or the other. But in seeing this petition as all about you. Helmut Thielicke, the German Lutheran pastor who stayed in Germany during World War II, describes this well. He says, "Very often in our anxious prayers, we are not really speaking with God, but with the danger. I'm not really thinking about the helper. I am thinking of the approaching missile. Even in our prayers in time of danger, we are riveted to ourselves." It gets worse. Most of us would gladly take deliverance from evil things like cancer, marriage problems, kid power problems, regardless if God's name was hallowed, his kingdom came, or his will was done. We pray when in panic attack mode. I don't care about anything else. Just deliver me from this approaching evil. Rescue me out of this one evil thing. Now. Do it now. It must happen now. All we see in this state is the evil. We've totally lost sight of Deliverer's name, his kingdom, his will. I have to think this was the mode the disciples were in tonight in the Passion reading. As they saw the surging, bloodthirsty mob, as they heard its blood-curdling, crucify, 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 and witnessed Pilate's feeble attempts to release Jesus, all they could think, all they could utter, all they could beg, all they could pray was, please release him, please release him. They didn't have, okay, maybe they did have, but I wouldn't have had a word or even a thought for the name, the kingdom, or the will Jesus taught me to be praying for. Even non-religious, even anti-religious shows and movies captured these panic prayers accurately. They're only and all about your deliverance. The truth of the matter is, you cannot be delivered or rescued from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputations, apart from the first three petitions being answered, or for that matter, the last three. Do you see how the last three are linked? Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then he tells us to pray and forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. But when we get to deliver us from evil, it's not just another addition. We aren't taught to pray and deliver us from evil. No, we're taught to pray but deliver us from evil. That makes that a summary of those first three. That means you're being delivered every day from evil by God giving you your daily bread, by God forgiving your sins, and by God not leading you into temptation. How can I be sure? Because one, Jesus tells you to pray this prayer daily. Two, that's what he bought and paid for on Good Friday. Pilate doesn't ask the crowd rhetorically, what crime has this man committed that he should be crucified, as that insert translates. No, he asks, what base act, what even untoward thing, what even worthless thing has this man ever committed? Pilate, after thoroughly examining Jesus, can confidently tell a mob that not only is he not guilty of any evil, any crime, but of anything even untoward. Could you stand before any single person and say that about yourself? Of course not. For as we say in an earlier petition, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Jesus got what we deserve. All men should hate us. They did hate Jesus. The government should sentence us for crimes we're guilty of. It sentenced innocent Jesus in our place. We should be turned over to a company of soldiers for the downright evil things we might have done, certainly said, and positively thought. We're not, Jesus was. Read the disturbing accounts of tyrants or dictators that are betrayed into the hands of the mob. As the blood spatters and their flesh tears, they act like, how could this be happening to them? Imagine how God, in flesh and blood, innocent of anything even lowbrow, imagine how he suffered under his unjust punishment, our guilt and our shame. He allowed himself to be overcome by evil to the point of death, so that we might pray, deliver us from evil and be answered. This petition to be delivered from evil things and the evil one is a summary of the entire Lord's Prayer. That's what we say in the Small Catechism. We pray in this petition in summary, and who is the subject throughout? Not us. We're the ones who need delivering, need rescuing, need taking. Who is the subject of the verbs rescue, give, and take? The one we confess will rescue us from every evil of body and soul. The one we pray to give us a blessed end. The one we ask to graciously take us from the valley of sorrow to himself in heaven is none other than our Father who art in heaven. This prayer comes full circle with the Father in the very center. The Father rescues us from every evil of body and soul by what will also, and he does that by what will also hallow his name, further his kingdom, and fulfill his will, all the while giving us our daily bread, forgiveness, and guarding us from temptation. Sometimes, oftentimes, most times, with needy people, the only way for God to keep us focused on him and not on the incoming missile of danger or evil, or on the ever-present me, myself, and I. Sometimes the only way to keep the focus off of us and on God is to keep us under a cross of suffering that we can only think is evil. Don't you think that's how it was for Simon of Cyrene? He was on his way in from the country, it says. This was the Passover festival. He was probably on his way to a party, to see his family, to enjoy festivities, to happiness. And then the Romans seized him and put a cross on him and made him carry it right behind Jesus. It specifically says that. This certainly had to be evil to this man. Archaeology tells us the cross weighed between 70 and 90 pounds. If it was on you, your head was pushed down and you could only see what was right there in front of you. Simon lifted his eyes and all he can see is Jesus only. He sees and hears everything about Jesus. The evil cross on his back makes this so. And evidently it bore fruit unto salvation. For Mark tells us that his sons, Alexander and Rufus, were still in the church while he was writing the gospel. Would Simon, looking back at the evil cross he bore, say, nevertheless, that he had been delivered from evil? I think so. The ultimate evil we're asking to be delivered from is an evil death. Don't be under the mistaken impression of the country singer who thinks all he has to do is live and die or live until he dies. He sings as if the death thing takes care of itself. In medieval times, when death was not hidden away in hospitals, but in your home, they knew there was an art to dying. They even had a manual called the Ars Mirandi, which translates the art of dying. It predated Luther by 70 to 100 years. There is an art to dying, and only one who has been there and done that can teach it. And the only one who fits that bill is the man Jesus. He has been through the death and the grave and came back to tell about it. And he teaches us to pray daily, but deliver us from evil. The greatest evil one of all is the devil. And he held the power of death until Christ defeated him. That's what Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who had held the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. God in Christ can give to fallen men a blessed end because he did not get one in order to give us one. His end was being betrayed by friends, ridiculed by enemies, shamed by soldiers, and disowned by his Father. He died as a damned guilty sinner should, so you don't have to. You can have a blessed end, and see how we define that. A blessed end is seeing this life as a valley of sorrow that we are graciously being taken out of. Our death is the big rescue, the grand deliverance. No matter how ugly it may look, no matter how painful it might be, no matter how guilty you may feel, death is not your master. Death is your Savior's servant to liberate you from all things evil and the evil one. Amen.